Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I hope you will listen closely. Your speaker heard a Baptist preacher once say, "Those who say you must be baptized in order to be saved are teaching the doctrine of the devil." Now that's what he said. And he added that the moment one believes Jesus is the Christ, he is saved. Now, whether what he says is right or wrong is of tremendous importance. Those who teach and follow the doctrines of the devil will be lost. And the Bible is filled with strong words against false teachers and those who follow them. Such comments as made by that Baptist preacher leaves little doubt regarding his attitude toward baptism and, in fact, that of most Baptists. The only way, friend, not just the best way, the only way to learn the truth of God is to search the Scriptures. Let us see what the Bible says and see what it teaches and learn what is taught about baptism. Let us learn what inspired men had to say, and God's truth, when attacked and mocked and ridiculed and castigated as the doctrine of the devil, it deserves defending. And we are set for the defense of the gospel, as was Paul, and as he expressed in Philippians 1 and verse 17. Will you listen to what John the Baptist preached? Keep in mind, John was the Baptist, meaning the immerser, the baptizer. John was not a Baptist, something of which you never read concerning anybody in all the pages of the Bible. In Mark 1 and verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Mark 1 and verse 8 teaches that John practiced water baptism. For Matthew 3 and verse 7, we read how the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, and he, that's John, said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Is it not obvious that the water baptism that John was preaching and practicing had to do with escaping wrath? Was John not preaching and practicing the very thing that the Baptist preacher called the doctrine of the devil? That Baptist preacher is not the first to think such things concerning John's baptism. In Matthew 21:33-36, Jesus asked some who questioned him whether the baptism of John was of heaven or of men, and they would not answer. Obviously, Jesus contended it was from heaven. How says anyone that John's teaching, therefore, is a doctrine of the devil? John's father, Zacharias, was told by the angel how John would be great in the sight of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, turning people to God, making ready a people for the Lord, Luke 1, verses 14-17. Does this sound as if John would be teaching a doctrine of the devil? Zacharias said of John in Luke chapter 1, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." And John baptized for the remission of sins, Mark 1:4. Did he preach a doctrine of the devil? Who can believe it? On Pentecost, the Apostle Peter, guided by the Holy Spirit, commanded his inquirers to repent and to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2, verse 38. Did he preach a doctrine of the devil, even as he was guided by the Holy Spirit? He even told them why to be baptized. It was the same reason Jesus taught in Mark 16:16. Did those on Pentecost obey a doctrine of the devil? Was not the only time Peter preached what some call the doctrine of the devil? Why, he preached at other times as well. In Acts 10, verse 47-48, he commanded those at Cornelius' household to be baptized. Baptism was not optional with him. Consider what else Peter taught in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, where he preached baptism saves. Now, did he get it wrong? Was Peter mistaken about that, or is the Baptist preacher correct in saying that Peter preached the doctrine of the devil? From what does baptism save us? Friend, the apostle of Christ did not teach the doctrine of the devil. Paul taught the necessity of baptism. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Here, as in Romans 6, 3 and 4, Paul teaches we get into Christ by baptism, salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. There's no condemnation to those in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Had Paul obeyed the doctrine of the devil in Acts 22 and verse 16, when he was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Friend, that Baptist preacher would claim Paul was already saved on the road to Damascus. And if so, the Lord didn't know it, because he told him to go into Damascus, and there it would be told him what he must do. And Paul didn't know it. He didn't know he was already saved, because he spent 3 days in fasting and prayer without rejoicing. And Ananias didn't know it. He didn't know he was already saved, because he told him how to wash away his sins. Why, if Saul was already saved, why be baptized to wash away his sins? Was Paul taught a doctrine of the devil, as that Baptist preacher contended? And Christ taught the same thing in Mark 16:16 and in Matthew 28:19 and 20. How presumptuous and defiant of truth can one become to suggest that John the Baptist, Peter, Paul, even Christ, all taught a doctrine of the devil? Just because one's creed teaches salvation is by faith only, a doctrine never taught in Scripture anywhere. Now, if you think it is, it does look like some of those who are always teaching salvation by faith only, that some of them, one of them, sometime, somewhere, would put their finger on the passage of Scripture that so teaches. Friend, when you teach baptism for the remission of sins, you're in good company, such as those of the Bible who taught it long before us. Quite often opponents of baptism misrepresent the doctrine of Christ by ridiculing baptism as water salvation. Well, ridicule does not dismiss what the Scripture teaches. Denominationalists ought to have learned this by now, but many have not. Nobody who ever taught the truth on the subject has suggested the saving power from sin is the water itself, no more than one would teach the waters of Jordan healed Naaman from his leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5. We're saved by the blood of Christ, Romans 5:9, Ephesians 1:7. But his blood was shed in his death, John the 19th chapter. And when we're baptized into his death, Romans 6:3-4. This is when and this is where we reach the saving blood of Christ, which enables us to walk in newness of life. Baptism is called by some an attempt to be saved by works. Well, friend, we need to know that there are certain kinds of works by which one cannot be saved, such as works of which we can boast, Ephesians 2:8-9, and works of our own merit, Titus 3:3-5, and certainly not by the works of the Mosaic law, Romans 3:20. But there are works of obedience by which faith is made perfect, the same kind of works by which Abraham was justified, James 2:20-26. Peter urged his hearers on Pentecost to save themselves. Now, they could not save themselves by themselves, nor could they be saved on the basis of their own righteousness. But there were works of obedience that they had to obey before they would be saved. This is either true or Peter's words make no sense whatsoever. Baptism is a work of the same kind as repentance. Man does the repenting. When one repents, is he trying to be saved on the basis of his own merit? Is he trying to work his way to heaven? Why, certainly not. He obeys what the Lord has commanded. He's depending upon the Lord for the gift of salvation. Friend, we're saved by faith, not by faith only. But even faith itself is a work, John 6, verse 29, a work of God. It is not that God must believe, but that it is God's will that man believe. Man does the work. A faith that will not work in obedience is a dead faith, James 2:26. How much life is there in a corpse? No Bible student denies we're saved by faith, but no Bible believer contends we're saved by faith only either. Hebrews 11, chapter 5, shows in each instance where things are done by faith, people had a working, obedient, and an active faith. No, we're not saved the moment we believe. Romans 10:13 forward shows a step-by-step process how the Word leads us to salvation. We hear the word. We believe the word. We call on the Lord to be saved. There must be the calling on the Lord that comes after faith. John 1 and verse 12 shows faith to give the right and the power to become the sons of God. But having such a right and a power does not mean that one is yet a son of God. He must exercise that right and that power, and he does so by his obedience to what is commanded. Romans 6:16 through 18 teaches that one is made free when he obeys the form of doctrine delivered. That which must be obeyed is a form, the form of a doctrine that saves. That doctrine is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. The form of that doctrine is baptism, Romans 6:3 and 4, just as Paul explained. And this is proof conclusive that we're not saved the moment we believe. Friend, rather than baptism to be saved being a doctrine of the devil, I contend to you that it is the Baptist doctrine that one is saved by faith only, the moment he believes, that is, of the devil. John 12:42 reveals men who believed, but would not even confess Christ. Well, were they already saved? And even the devils believe, James 2:19, are they saved? Now, if salvation were by faith alone, then when Peter was asked on Pentecost what his hearers should do, and they obviously believed what he had said about Christ, or they never would have asked, he should have told them, nothing. You've already done it. You believe. That's it. It's a done deal. But he didn't say that, did he? No man has the right to ask another to do anything other than what the Lord has taught. And no man has the right to declare the doctrine of Christ to be the devil's doctrine. The biblical evidence is so abundant we wonder why people retain their loyalty to false doctrines and their creeds and their manuals and their catechisms and their denominations that would lead them to avoid obedience to a divine command and then obey that command for the purpose revealed. Well, you can be sure, until you do what the Scripture commands of you, there is no word of hope for your soul. Believe this and live. Reject it and suffer the dreadful consequences. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.